Can we move on? Does anybody else have questions about the profit and loss statements?
Just a quick point of information, Kim.
Yes.
Looking at the list of members on the meeting, it doesn't show Sue Cone Johnson as a voting member.
I don't know. I thought
was I've been
I could be a little
here.
Off.
I've been here 5 or 6 times, so I qualify.
I think I made a mistake on the minutes, or maybe
right,
I made a mistake
case,
on the agenda.
If that's the case, then fine. That's
it's my mistake.
I want to make sure we're all quick here.
Did Fred be recognized?
I'll correct the agenda or the minutes before I do send them out.
Did Fred be
go
recognized?
Ahead, Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
As previous chair, I recorded Sue as being present more than 3 meetings.
Okay.
So I put her on as a voting member.
It's my mistake. I'll double check. Anybody else have questions about the profit and loss statements for this December? Go ahead,
this is
John.
I do. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I now have another computer with a bigger screen, so I can make some notes on it. I believe we've covered the reason, the rationale for the website income being pooled with listener support or not. But I no longer remember that, and my question is, why is website income not separated out, given that it's, one, probably easy to do and useful information, and it's just a matter of adding the two up to get the sum. So what's the rationale, pro and con, for that? I don't need a lot, but just to kind of fill the blank in conceptually. And that question goes
sure.
to Julia.
Mm-hmm. It is twofold, which I guess really ends up being onefold, is I currently am unable to reconcile the deposits to a report from Allegiant. While I have figured out how to run reports that show me what's being raised, I can't tell how those payments are being batched and deposited. And 90% of this is credit cards. I'm sure y'all know this. Most of what comes in is credit cards. So that was one of the reasons. And two, it was because that requires extra journal entries to do that, which, you know, may not sound like a big deal. But when we had the conversation before, and I thought we had it on the committee, Kim, I don't know if you remember that, or Fred, a few months ago, was that we didn't feel that information was necessarily helpful. Because we didn't really know back in the day when it first started, you know, generating website income, maybe it was important to people, but, you know, that's part of the two parts, right? Is it really that necessary? And two, right now, I cannot get reports out of Allegiant that tie to credit card deposits.
May I follow
and
up?
Not just one credit card deposit. There's various vendors who deposit, you know, certain credit cards. So, yes.
Yeah. So my follow up is, I certainly understand if you can't do it easily now, then it can't be done. But I do, since I am a web guy and I follow the kind of the trends on the internet quite a bit. I have a hunch that this could become very important and is useful to spot trends early and not be behind the times with regard to social media, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know where it'll come from, but I think we ought to do it if we can do it fairly easily. And the question would be, what would it take for us to be able to have that ability to do it easily so that you would, if it could be typed in as a separate line and then the spreadsheet would just add it up and compute the combined combination of listener and website income.
Sure. So this goes back to one, even at a higher level and a more important level is, you know, with the audit, as we try to improve things, as is always our goal, is, you know, auditors want to be able to tie your revenue to subledgers. And right now, we can't do that. You know, we weren't able to do it last year either, you know, tie it to, this is my understanding, tie it to Allegiant's report. So we need to be able to do exactly what you're saying, but at a bigger picture, not necessarily just for website income. I need to be able to tie every batch of credit cards that comes in from the various processors to some type of report in Allegiant. Once we're able to do that, then we'll be able to split out the website income as well, I would think.
Do you think we will be able to get it from Allegiant eventually?
I hope so. You know, I don't know if you're a website guy, you probably are familiar with having to use significant types of programs like this. It really depends on how it's set up and is it set up to run the reports that we need. I've launched many of a software program, in my prior positions, working at museums and stuff. And, if you don't have the training and the champion on the front end, which I'm not saying Carrie is not that person, but, it definitely, there are a lot of nuances to setting up fundraising software. And I gather that maybe that's been done differently at the different stations. And so from what I've seen from the reports, it looks like it's pretty good. I just can't get the credit card payment information out of it. I'm hoping Maria at KPFK can help me with that. But
one more follow-up.
It's doable at some point.
One more follow-up. Ali, who just signed in, is our web guy. He's damn good. And while he's not a member of the committee yet, he is a resource which I would encourage you to speak with, because I don't know how much if he's had Allegiant training or not, but Ali's darn good and has the capability, I'm sure, of doing this if it can be done by most reasonably skilled people. So I would encourage that you have a conversation with Ali. I mean, maybe Ali would say, yeah, you'll talk, or he'd be too busy. I don't know. But I think we have an opportunity there because he's on the call. He's therefore of interest. He's interested, and he's definitely capable.
Michael Lovington, back, please.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, it's a related question. The reason we originally broke out website income is that it was meant to show income that was coming in not during fund drives, so we could distinguish donations we made at other times. Currently, if you go to donate, the donate button on kpfk.org, you're going directly to Allegiant. And that's why it's not being broken out, is that that's Allegiant taking, collecting that money for us into their system. As far as I understand, it goes to something called We Did It, which is just, sometimes it's can I finish my sentence, please? And maybe people can correct me after that. Sometimes it's set up as a campaign for the fund drive, and sometimes it's set up otherwise. So I think Ali could probably provide you as, but my larger question about this is as follows. My understanding is that the Pacifica National Board changed the central services requirements at some point in the last fiscal year, and that's still not reflected in the central service payments that are being accrued on these documents. So I'd like some clarity on that. Related, again, the reason it's related to this earlier question is that at one point, and I don't know if it's still the case or not, central service payments were based on a percentage of listen support income, meaning money raised during on-air fund drives. And I don't know if that's still the case or not, but that's why the question of listen support and what is included or not included in listen support is important internally, because it determines what central service payments are for each station. So
okay.
Some clarity, I would appreciate it.
Okay, Julie can answer it, or I can answer it. I can take a stab at it first. The central services is about to come up at the MFC again. They decided 2 years ago that it was all revenue, not just listener support, okay? Right. And number three, we are in fund drive all the time. So anything that comes in between fund drives is like, there is no time in between fund drives here. I mean, other state, it trickles in all month. But that metric was from 20 years ago. If Julie wants to say something, otherwise, I've heard Allie, and I want to let him speak. So, Julia or Allie, who wants to speak? Hello?
Ali, do you, I'll yield. Well, no, I have a comment, but Ali, I'll yield to you as well, since you're an employee who's been around longer, you know, than I have, if you have a comment before I say something.
Yeah, I can't really speak to the central services issue. I was just going to talk about the report of fund drive income and the inclusion or exclusion of web revenue.
Go. We're saving breath here.
So what Michael said was partially true and partially incorrect. We create separate campaigns for every fund drive. When we're not in fund drive, we have what we call our 365 campaign, which is the year-round campaign. When we are in fund drive, when you click on the donate button, it takes you to whatever our current campaign is. And I have generated web revenue reports in the past for our fund drive. And Terry and I, it's built into Allegiance. It's possible to get that data. Unfortunately, the last two drives, the general manager has asked me not to generate or distribute those reports. So I'm hoping, perhaps with my participation on this committee, I can continue. I can resume generating those reports, which also itemize web income as well as pledges by telephone. Thank you.
See, I knew that you would have something important that I needed to hear, Ali. And I will speak to Terry, because this is the first time that I've heard about the 365 campaign, because I've asked about, you know, there's no way that there isn't some type of fundraising that's going on outside of the fund drives, and how are we capturing that so we can differentiate it given, you know, reporting. So thank you for that, Ali. I will ask Terry. I'm assuming that there is a link like I had for the last campaign. He gave me a link for the last campaign so I could look at it every day and see how things were going. Is that correct? Yeah. So there would be a 365 campaign link like there is for that?
If I can respond.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd be glad to put together an outline for you of all of our campaigns with links so that you can get daily. You can see daily reports of income itemized by whatever want to specify.
And mostly, well, first of all, it helps me learn about the organization, but secondly, it really helps my mental health when it comes to cash, because that's an easier way for me to follow it quickly than having to go into Allegiance and try to run their very slow, crazy reports. So thank you. Ali, let's connect.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Michael, a follow-up question?
I heard somebody else on the stack.
Well, I had to follow up because my first question was not answered. I still understood that there was a reduction in central services payments required from KPFK that's not reflected in what's accrued in the documents given.
I will answer that question. When we get to the budget, you'll see it's in there, okay? We can retroactively do it for this year's P&Ls, but right now that hasn't happened yet, but I believe it is in the budget. And this will be,
We're looking at the first quarter of the current fiscal year at the moment, and in the first quarter of the current fiscal year, the figures being accrued are the same as they were in the first quarter of the last fiscal year. That's what I'm asking about on the document we're looking at right now.
Right. Is it okay if I answer that?
Please.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So the quick answer to that is yes, you're correct. That is the information that Tamara had to go on when she generates the entries for this. And we have been waiting. This has been a conversation that we've been talking about for a few months. It has finally made it to the agenda for the next NFC meeting. We talked about it briefly this meeting this week and last week, and it has an official spot on the next agenda to be led by Chris, I believe, Kim, if that's right, to settle this and get it moved forward and implemented. And it's been addressed that this is something that was never that was passed, the new way of calculating, but was never implemented. And they want to go back and revisit, see where we are, make sure everyone's on the same page, and make sure that it's implemented.
Thank you.
As far as the financials go, though, if we were paying services, I could completely respect being super, I would be stressed out about it because I would say y'all are giving out cash that maybe, you know, you shouldn't have to since we're not paying central services. It's not hurting us right there. But, you know, once all that's approved, we'll make adjustments to the financial statements.
Okay. I'd like to move on to the budget. Can we move on to the budget right now? I hear no objection. So let's move on to the budget.
Can I raise a point of something, information with regard to the budget discussion again?
Yes.
I would like to repeat that it was the understanding that since the budget was either created by or the GM had a hand in creating, that he was going to be here to present it. Am I correct in presuming that that is not the case?
That is not the case, and he said he would not come. I thought I told the committee. No, he's not here. He will be, my understanding is, at the LSB meeting, and so.
Okay.
We have a role in developing this.
I think Julia can speak to that.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I was on mute, and again, I'm trying to go back since, Kim, what you sent was the last version of what we had reviewed. I'm trying to go back and find
it.
Do you mind forwarding that to me again real quick? Because for some reason...
Not at all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. If you recall, we, although I've been with NETA for a year, I really joined KPFK in more in depth when I went out and visited with Mikkel in October. He obviously had only been there for a couple of weeks at that time, so it actually worked out for both of us that we did a very deep dive on the expenses, multiple Zoom calls. We went through the expenses, both sort of the, both of us trying to figure it out, both of us taking on assignments to do more research on what something was because it was all new to us since we were fairly, new to the organization. He was very helpful with that. There's only so much that we can do as far as cutting. The major move, which was already an idea that was on the table, was the telephones. But, yes, he was involved. He is the one who, made the final decision. I don't believe we made any changes to it yet for the number of days and the average daily amount of funds raised for the fund drive. So he had a very big hand in it. We went into a lot of detail. It just kind of stopped, though, at the point of we have this huge deficit, and it didn't go past there.
Okay, thanks. I guess I'm just disappointed that he's not here to present his own budget. But
a question?
Thank you.
All right.
I'll take a stack.
Goldstone?
Raymond, go ahead.
Two things. In the proposed budget, or whatever you call it, I don't really know, there's a substantial set of sums under development expenses. And I'm just curious as to what that means. I mean, what does that money pay for?
And I apologize. Kim, what time did you send this out?
The minute you asked me. I mean, I went right there and I sent it. I can go through
now.
This.
Okay.
I mean, line 116.
Here, I've got it.
Okay. While you're opening it, is credit card discount fees. When people pay, we have to pay credit card fees. When people use the credit card to support us. Telemarketing is we have an outside call answering service. Because of COVID, we used to have volunteers in our station answering calls during a fund drive. that's outsourced now and it's expensive. And then the next line is development expenses, and that pays for the Allegiance program that we were just speaking about, that tracks all the fund drive and membership information. And then the next one is premiums from the archives. We pay them for their premiums, for their, you know, flash drives of stuff for their work in putting them together. And the next item is premiums, the regular premiums that are offered. You know, we pay them. And the next one is shipping and packaging to mail them out. And that's pretty much what development is.
Let me...
Point of information. What line are we on in the spreadsheet?
115 to 136. Those are basically costs, the cost of raising money. There you go. Somebody else wanted to get on the stack?
Michael Novick.
Janine on the stack, please.
Okay, go ahead, Michael Novick.
Point yeah, so just to point out to everybody that the I'll wait for the question. What, who is it? Who had a point of information?
Point of information, Dave.
Okay, Dave.
I was just wanting to ask before we start asking questions, if our NEDA representative was going to make sort of a budget presentation, which might head off asking
right.
lots of questions. Is she going to do that? That was my question. Is she going to kind of go through it and make a presentation, or are we just going to ask questions about stuff? That was my question.
Thank you, Dave. I was just filling in while she she was getting the budget for me, because she has it. But so go ahead, Julia.
Yes, thank you. We were going to talk through some of this, and hopefully that would answer some questions. The main point I think it started out with was, you know, what was Mikhail's participation, and there was a good bit of participation, but in the end it did not resolve the problem of the net loss. And, you know, it's extremely challenging to move forward when we know that we have such a significant net loss. So with the listener support, I believe there are, you know, we have the specific details with that. And I believe we might, Kim, do you remember, did we bump that to $6,000 a day?
It's
not enough days, and it's not enough per day.
I'm sorry. I sent out Mikhail's chart, and I made a couple of other charts, one with upping the revenue per day and one with upping the per day. Mikhail's chart, Julia and I both independently did the numbers for the October and December drive, and we came up with $6,600 per day. Mikhail's budget is based on something like $5,800. So that's why I did a chart with $66.
Is that net gross?
No, it's not.
It's gross. It's what we get pledged per day. We get about 90% of that as a, you know, ballpark figure. No, it's very low.
I apologize. I thought you said, is that enough? Not is that gross, so I apologize.
Actually, there was something in between. Is that net or gross? Because it is gross, but that's a different annotation.
It is gross, you're right.
Sue, stack.
Sue, we're letting Julia speak, and I put you on the stack for when she finished her presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Julia.
Again, you know, looking at where I felt like just some small ideas, given that I don't know enough about the work that you guys do in this industry yet, you know, CARS donations have been great. And that was one thing that I said, you know, I know that y'all don't want to be promoting a lot of crazy stuff, but boy, we get some good checks in there. And it would be interesting to know how much time is being promoted with cars donations now. And if it's not a lot and you're already getting this, you know, making sure that you continue to at least do what you're doing with that, because take advantage of that while we can. You know, the special events, right now, there are no plans that I'm aware of, but we feel like, you know, that there need to be plans. And so this revenue piece has a little bit of adjustment for that, to try to say, you know, and we need to add more, but, you know, this grants income, I'm worried about that. You know, look, you know, $55,000, who's got the applications going? And so we couldn't just, you know, we had to start somewhere. And to me, I felt like we're still stuck on the minimum, the baseline, the, oh, well, we hope we can do that. But like, even for grants income, I feel like that is, you know, unless we've got someone assigned and in place and working on grant applications, I'm concerned about that happening. Same with special events. If there's not a plan in place, I don't foresee that happening. You know, if, you know, as we've seen, the revenue for listener support has continued to decline every year. And why should we expect that to change if we don't have some type of change in what, in the activity that we're doing? So, you know, even though, I mean, I see where Mikel was coming from, that he, and I agree, because, you know, again, coming from a background where revenue was based on admissions and program fees and things like that, I get it. You don't want to set goals that are so high that you can't achieve them. We don't want to just plug numbers in here to be able to, you know, say we've covered this $1 million deficit and know that they're not achievable, because that is going to completely deflate the employees to say, oh, this is what we have to do, when they know they can't do it. And we don't have a plan in place. So, you know, that's where we are with this. I just would say I have more confidence in the expenses than I do in the revenues. I feel like the revenues, we got to have a plan. So if you want to talk about revenues right now, maybe that's a good idea. I'll leave that to you, Kim, or I can go ahead and talk about expenses. But expenses pretty much are what they are. And, you know, it's not like there's a lot of overhead that we can cut. You know, so I feel like y'all tell me what's the best use of time. What you feel
I'm ready. I'm ready to take questions. I think questions of revenue need to go to the GM. I mean, we can't answer for him what his plans are. So I'll take a stack. I don't know if Michael Novick was finished, or then I have
no,
Janine,
I
and then
even
Sue Cohen Chuck. Okay, go ahead, Novick.
Yeah. This is kind of odd. A few of the items here actually show specific figures. Month by month, or variance between months. Most of them are prorated across the year, what you think the total is, and then they're just put down, you know, both on the income and in some cases on the expenses side. Personnel is just set at 81,178, but if you look at administrative expenses, that varies from month to month, or programming expenses varies from month to month. The revenue entirely is set at a fixed sum per month. That's not normally how we look at budgets here historically. And for example, the first quarter, which is completed and we just looked at, we actually know what the list of support has been. It doesn't correspond to the 56,895 each month. So in terms of trying to think about what projected cash flow is going to be in future months, you know, it would be helpful to have something that looked different from this historically.
Go ahead.
Historically, we've anticipated what were the goals of particular fund drives are. We know what the general rate of fulfillment is for X number of months, and those get into a template that, you know, fills in the listener support. So I don't know what to ask about that. So I'm also looking in one at the central service figures now. So, and I believe that they're different from the ones that were down in the document I asked about earlier. Is that
Okay, I can address the spread issue pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the document we just looked at showed the central services at 36,829, and this one shows it at 29-something. So some kind of change has already been made. Right. Thank you.
Correct. And we did base that on
question.
Well, let me...
Julia is speaking right now. Please
but here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's a clarification, a point of information thing here. I've got this big screen here, and I'm a fast reader, but Michael went too darn fast for me to keep up. I did not have line numbers or column numbers, and he was hopping back and forth. He wasn't going top down like a reading a book. He was jumping around in there, and Michael just went too damn fast. So we don't have Zoom, and we voted Zoom down, and so we don't have a cursor to show me where you are. But I'm a damn fast reader, and I can't keep up. So, Julia, if you'll give us the line numbers, what we're talking about, then I'll follow. Because my eyes move fast. I think fast. But I cannot hop around in random access because I'm not familiar with the lay of the land.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, please. Go ahead.
Good evening again. Listen, point of information is old Roberts, and the newest version of Roberts, people are supposed to say request for information, and that means you have a quest. Now, the gentleman that just spoke, actually, that was a quest of personal privilege because there was something that affected him. That's personal privilege. And by the way, request for information or request for personal privilege or privileges of assembly, they should all be asked for when there no one is talking. When there's silence on the floor is when those motions are in order. Thank you.
Yeah, but if that happens after the report's done, then you're screwed. You have to ask it in a timely way.
John, please.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to
please, and I would have recognized you, John, but you just started talking. I would have recognized you, but I think Michael Novick is going to give you his line items right now. Correct, Michael?
Well, and I'm happy to just provide those line items as I answer his question, if that will speed things along.
The central services is on line 37, and I think you know where listener support is. And
How about I'll just answer the question, and I will preface it with the line item.
Go ahead, Julia.
Now, so many people talking, I've forgotten who actually answered the question. Asked the question, but so regarding the central services question, and that is line 37. It is spread out. It's $41,739 a month. That was recalculated during the budget process. It was calculated using a percentage. I don't have the information in front of me. I would have to dig it out, but I do know that we used a specific percentage that was provided to us, and it was based on the total revenue or funds raised. I'd have to go back and look which number it was based on, but since your revenue is down the past 2 years, that is why the amount of central services is less. The next meeting, we will hopefully know more from the NFC about how that will be calculated, but I seriously doubt it's going to be higher. I doubt it. I can't promise that, but it's not going to be as much as it was last year, I would assume. I can't promise you that, but with the drop in revenue that you've had, I cannot imagine that it would be higher than it was past this school year. So, but a drop was estimated in the current budget. As far as the subtotals being the same for total revenue and the revenue being pretty much the same across the board, especially for listener support, major donors, car donations, I hope that you can take this with the respect that is truly intended, because I would never be disrespectful. Here we are in a situation where the revenue that we have come with is such a bad situation, there really was not a way to say how much revenue we would put in each month. And I don't want to speak for Kim, but we need to get to the next level in coming up with a revenue plan to be able to spread that out. The things like cars donations, that's going to be random. That is not going to be consistent. I don't think history is going to repeat itself. I mean, we can go back and look and see a little bit, but, you know, that's not the main point, I don't think. I'm sure it's more of the, you know, listener support is the main issue with that. And once we get to a point where I think it's more important to decide what are we committed to making happen with these fund drives, number of days, average funds raised per day, what's going to go up, and what are we going to do to support the station, or what is it the station needs to pull that increase in revenue off, then we will be able to better break out the budget. Because you're right, and I agree with you to the person who raised that question. I normally would never just send a spread of even, but we're in such a bad place with where we are with this deficit that it's essentially a moot point to try to focus on that right now. I mean, yes, we could do a little bit of a jump, you know, and, you know, we'll be able to update it with the October, November, you know, actuals, but that was the thought process. So I hope that
thank you. Julia, Michael, I would just like to add, you know, what we have here is this template from last year, which is not connected to anything, and then this fund drive chart, which is not connected to anything. So if we had the full budget template that you and I are familiar with, you know, you'd plug in the numbers in fund drive, and it would do those percentages into listener support automatically. We don't have that, you know. You know, this is the best we can do as far as cash flow. Look at it. Every month is a huge deficit. We're looking at $1 million deficit budget here. So, you know, the cash flow is bad. How bad? You know, it's bad.
And I will, backing up what Kim just said, I was not even aware that there was a template that fed in that until we were already way into this process. And at that point, I just didn't have time to change templates. So next year, hopefully, it'll be a different experience.
Thanks.
Okay. I have Janine next. Janine? Okay, I have Sue Cohen-Johnson.
Sorry about that. Development should include direct mails and renewals. And contrary to your opinion, car donations are really reliable and regular. Thank you.
We have them in there, regular and reliable. It's our most profitable line item. It's the only thing that's gone up, Sue.
That's what I'm saying. But I thought she said that they're not really reliable, but they are.
Yeah, they're reliable that we get some, but we can't estimate whether it's going to be 4,000 or 10,000 in a month.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
As far as the mailings. We do have some in there, but I don't think, you know, Julia may and Mikhail and Terry may not have gotten together, and it's up to him to say we're going to do mailings this year. We don't have that in there. This is a question you need to ask the general manager about whether he thinks that's a good fundraising idea. You know, that's how that works.
That's our renewals. Okay. We have to do them.
Well, I don't know what's being done. Anybody else for the stack?
Oh, yeah, Kim, it's Mike.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. Let me move up a couple of cells here. Where is it? Legal, which is line 77. I see that that's spread across the year to 25,000, and I hope somebody can just clarify. Pacifica in general seems to be a magnet for lawsuits over all things from all sides. And I just would like somebody to confirm that that stuff is all on the Pacifica side and that we don't need to budget more than $25,000 for that because given what some of the suits are costing, you know, that's barely enough for a quarter.
We most of the legal expenses are at National. We had high legal expenses last year because of the union negotiations.
Okay.
I do not expect it to be that high. It's, you know, it gives a little cushion here, but it's not as high as last year, which was almost, you know, $100,000, and that was majority legal, the union negotiation. So that's mostly done. So, yeah, this is about right.
Okay, and then line 79, which is insurance expense, and that's a yearly total of a little over $7,000. And again, I mean, looking what I'm guessing most of us pay for, homeowners, renters, whatever, we've got a big building, we've got liability, we've got on-air liability, personal liability, all sorts of things that insurance would cover, and I just question: is that enough? If it comes to a fact, that's fine.
I'm well aware of this, Michael. Let me explain it to you. All of those expenses that you just named are handled by National. What this insurance line item is, line 79, is only for KPFK. Berkeley may have it also, but it is for earthquake insurance because only us in California need that. So all the rest of that stuff is handled by National.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, anybody else?
This is Dave.
Dave, go ahead.
Well, the monthly deficits are frightening, and I don't see how the committee can support a budget that's going to be so far in the red. But I did have a couple other questions, and I'd like to maybe skip down to under the expense details. We're talking about salaries and related expenses. The first line there is gross salaries on a monthly basis. And my question is that I would understand naturally that this salary number would include the salary of the general manager, but we do not have a program director at the current time. And does this budget include the hiring of a program director?
No.
Okay,
I'm not saying that I support that. I'm just telling you.
No. I just wanted to know if the number is included.
Right. I will say that, again, there are two things that in my career I can say that I don't do, but we are in a unique situation. One, send out budgets that have, you know, things divided by 12 when we know they're not going to be divided by 12. And two, send out budgets that have million-dollar deficits because, as you are correct, you can't approve a budget with a million-dollar deficit. At some point, you can't pay the bill. I was stuck, and so I'm stuck.
No, I got to
move it to the committee to, you know, kind of force the situation.
Well, I mean, this is why we need the general manager on the call, and we're just advisory. And I just wanted to go on the record as somebody saying that from the committee that I don't see how we can support a budget. It's so heavily in the red. But I had a couple other questions, Chair, if I may continue.
Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh. Yep.
Going down to revenue again, on the community special event, it looks like special event income starts picking up in March of this year. and carries through March, April, May, June. I'm sure everyone can see it there. And even though it's not a large amount of money, I just can't imagine us being able to operate a special event under COVID. And I would just caution us, you know, thinking about that. And likewise, if that income disappears, then under the expense sheet, the expense section, there's also community special events there. And the column showing like a $2,500 expense amount. Well, if we're unable to do get the revenue from special events, we probably won't have that expense either. And I just don't see how the general manager can assume that we can do a special event in March, unless, of course, it's some kind of online thing or something. But then we would need the GM to explain that to us. I did want to ask a question about the administrative expenses going further down the line. Under administration expenses, you've explained about how it's going to take a little while to get the telephone cost down. But I noticed under postage, there's like $0 for United States Postal Service there under administration expenses. That seems a little hard to fathom, although I imagine it would be a small amount perhaps. And the first column showing under dues, periodicals, and NFCB, $3,975. I was wondering if we could get some explanation for that. It says dues, periodicals, and NFCB. I wonder if anyone would know or be able to tell us what the dues are. And I would like to have an action for NFCB. I just don't know what that is. Thank you.
Okay. I know exactly what that is. We joined NFCB last year in order they collect, since we're no longer a part of CPB, which used to do it for us, they do the administrative work on paying the royalties for any music programming. That's what that is for.
Yes,
and
I remember now.
And the postage, because this came up last year, the postage is minimal for admin, and it's mostly in premiums and shipping. You know, they have that big postage machine, and, you know, I don't know who's going to sit there for three letters going out from admin. And as for community events, he put in expenses. So he put in those expenses. So there has to be commensurate revenue. Now, other stations, I know KPFA is doing webinar stuff and they're making money. That's up to him. That's in his budget. You know, he's got to, you know, come up with ideas for community events. You know,
just seeking
patients.
Fundraising and
wait, Michael Novick, you're not recognized. Let Dave finish, please.
Yeah, I had one last question.
I can't even hear you, Michael. Go ahead, Dave.
One last question, Michael, very quickly here. Property taxes, $5,200 a couple times a year. We all know how that works, anyone that lives here in town and pays property taxes. I know that Steve Kaiser and some other members of this committee were working on trying to get those taxes reduced because of our nonprofit status. And I was wondering if you know, what the status of that was. Maybe Steve or someone could give us an update, or if Julia has heard anything about that. My understanding from Steve was that we shouldn't be having to pay that amount.
Dave, they did reduce that amount because of our nonprofit status. I think Barry took care of that. So we're getting assessment than we would as a profit-seeking organization.
This responds to both those questions, if I may.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, on community events, the GM is working with the Outreach and Fundraising Committee to the LSB for a parking lot event either February 19th or 26th. It wouldn't be a charge to come, but it would be an attempt to raise income. So there are community events in person. There might be additional ones, virtual. My understanding about the property taxes is that there were some technical changes that had to be made in the Articles of Incorporation to correspond to the requirements of the Franchise Tax Board. And I think those were done, but I haven't heard about the final outcome about the reduction and maybe even rebate of some of the property taxes. If you know more about that, Kim.
Well, I know that CFA was the big problem, and I don't know that it affected us. I really don't know. I thought we got a refund on some of that. I don't know, Michael. Honestly, I've never delved into that one issue.
Fred also have the floor.
Okay, I'll let Steve Kaiser talk, and then Fred Blair.
Let me go after the next person. I'll wait till they speak. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Fred.
Thank you. Part of the problem is we haven't we need to file paperwork here with the LA tax collector, which we haven't. We need to file the P&L statements for the year and request the deduction. So we haven't done
that since February.
We haven't done this for like 5 or 6 years. I'd like to talk with you, Julie, about that later.
That would be great if you have some information on that. Lydia mentioned it to me maybe last week, and it was the first I'd heard of it. But she kind of acted like Barry had been doing that. I will say that we were able to pay the $5,000 payments this past couple of months because we got a refund from a prior year, from a couple of years ago. So I'm thinking that maybe, I don't know, I just that makes me think that maybe he did apply for something, but I think you have to apply every year, and I've heard it's February. So anyone who is in the know on that and wants to help me, great.
Julie, this is Steve. Can I speak, Kim?
Go ahead, Steve. Yes, go ahead.
Julie, are you the NIDA representative here?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. I'm Steve Kaiser. I'm a CPA also. And I was helping on this, but I just left it to Barry, and my impression was from him that it was taken care of. But I'll be happy to step back in and take a look at that. There should be one or two file folders that have this information in it.
That was our problem. And if it suits you, if we could have a side conversation just to try to point, we did not find that information there, and we don't have access to his electronic files. So, yes, I would appreciate just some pointing in the right direction of where the forms are, which forms need to be filed.
Okay, Julie, I'll work with you on that. Do you want me to call you up? Do you want to give me a phone number?
We'll do it later.
No,
I'll hook you up.
Yeah, I'll hook
you
up.
I'll connect you and Fred
so much,
and, you know.
Maria Skelton, please.
I'll help. Would you like
Janine
my phone?
To the staff?
No, I'll deal with it. Steve Kaiser, I'll take care of it offline. You know, we
what are
don't
you
put
numbers.
I'll email you.
Kim, what are you going to do?
I'll email you, Steve.
I'll email you. Give out phone numbers
right now,
on public.
All right, that's fine.
Steve.
She's got your email.
You do have my email?
I'll email you, Steve. Yeah.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Right, thank
Maria.
You.
Maria? Hello, Maria. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi. Good evening, everyone. Hello. I just wanted to say that I'm here. I've been here about 5:35. I just didn't want to interrupt anyone. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're here. Anybody else for the stack?
Janine to the stack.
Go ahead, Janine.
Well, I was off the call for a little bit. I had to take a business call, so I apologize. I might not have been around for a vote, but I have two things. Well, the first thing I want to ask about is the board election amount in here for $10,000. I'm on the elections committee, and this last election was close to $150,000. So I was wondering how that number got in so low. And that was just for the LSC election. It was not my understanding is it was not a combination of the referendum. So I would just want to double check that number, and then I have another question.
I'll answer that since I suggested that number, Janine. That we get charged for the local election supervisor. Everything else is on nationals. They pay for it. Maybe we're supposed to get billed back more. so that hasn't happened last year or the year before. So I just put in 10,000 because that's what it was last year.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
you have another question?
Yeah, that's good to know. And actually, there's a push for it to be more centralized, the help that the NES gets. So maybe there won't be an LES next time. I also wanted to say that, again, a general ledger eventually, Julia, would be great for us. I think it would answer a lot of these questions when we say, for instance, we have a very low professional fee when our average this year has been very high. I know that's legal fees. Legal fees came up at the national level, the national committee meeting, and yet we have a very low professional fee here, and I don't know why it's so much lower than what we've been paying. That's great if we're not going to be incurring a lot of legal costs this next year, but I was just curious about that. And I think eventually a general ledger, a full set, we don't have a chart of accounts or anything, and I know you're working on that. So I'm not trying to push for it to happen immediately, but I do think a full set of financials would be appropriate once everything gets settled in and there's a chart of accounts and you've got everything kind of shored up.
I'll answer that. Because we answered that earlier, Janine. The legal expenses were very high last year because of the union negotiations. We do not expect that, and that's why they're lower this year. As for the general ledger, you have asked that. You know, that's dilatory at this point. You've asked for many, many months, and you've had responses, and so we're moving on. Okay.
Well, I just wanted to say that it did come up on national, and I've been asking for the general ledger specifically for the professional fees, and that's I always got the response that it was legal, and we're talking like sometimes $20,000 a month or whatever. And I was asking that we could see that because a lot of time in fees like that, there are people at a firm that charge more money than other people for things that they're doing. And that's one of the reasons, like, looking at that was really important. And yet now it came up at a financial level or at the national level. But yet I've been shunned in asking for the backup for that. So this is just my statement to say that it's not dilatory if the same things are being addressed at the national level, right? So just please stop with the, it's dilatory. This is something that I think as now I'm a public member, and as a public member, I don't understand why we're not getting these. And I don't have a say on the board, right? So this is where I have a say. Thank you.
Kim,
Janine,
can I speak to part of that?
Go ahead. Yes, please.
Janine, as far as the legal fees go, I will say that I cannot remember who I released this information to. I thought it was this committee. It might not have been. It might have been at the national. But let me tell you, I got a phone call within 2 days because a couple of the firms contacted someone at national and said, we do not want our firm names to be released with the list of our bills. And so I'm going to have to say that releasing the details of which attorneys are paid how much per bill, that is going to have to go to a higher level because I was told that that is not public information and that evidently a couple of these firms called us out on it.
Okay, so can I follow up with that?
That's where I'm stuck with that.
Right, yeah,
no,
and I know you're in a hard place.
No, Janine.
But the reality,
I
said,
please.
Can I have a follow-up, and you didn't say anything.
I have a chance to say, no, we're done with this conversation, Janine. She said, why we can't have it.
Well, that's because a third party is dictating that we can't have it? That's what it sounds like.
No. It's national policy at this point.
It's not national policy because it came up at the audit committee as well. It's not national policy.
It never came up at the audit committee, Janine. It never came up at the audit committee.
Yes, it did. I was the one that brought it up. And I had George on the phone, and he said he didn't understand why, and I'm just waiting to see who the next finance committee chair is so that we can bring this up again.
Janine, this is dilatory at this point.
It's not
dilatory at this point.
If it affects us.
I'm saying it's dilatory, and, you know, we can take a vote on it. Or we can move
really?
On.
Really? Is that our... Okay. I just won't get answered, I guess. But I will keep bringing it up because it is something we voted on. It's something that we said that we needed.
Janine,
and now you're pretending like we didn't vote that it was something important to us. So,
Janine, this committee never took a vote, and if whatever little thing you signed 2 years ago, you took it to the LSC.
Whatever little thing we signed.
No. You don't have the floor.
Why are you insulting
me
like that? It's not a little thing that we signed. We signed a letter.
Janine, I am speaking.
Don't insult me, though.
I am speaking right now. You signed a letter. You took a motion to the LSB.
Not me. We.
They did.
We. No. Sorry. Could you say we?
Janine, do not interrupt me. Do not interrupt me. Whatever happened is out of this committee. It is passed on, and you have been told this every month, for months on end. I am moving on to the next person who wants to take the stack.
I would like to say one more thing.
No.
As a member of of the public, we do not know the details of our expenses right now.
Okay. Thank you. I'm moving on. If there's no more who want to speak, I would like to make a motion. And I move that the Finance Committee does not approve the FY22 budget. So it will go to the LSB if we approve this, and they will be able to speak with the general manager, which we can't do. Well, there's nothing more we can do here. So that's my motion. I'll take a stack on this motion.
One at a time.
What, John Tatum, I hear you. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I heard someone second a motion. However, the word reject should be used because motions cannot be proposed in a negative form. So it's better to say you reject instead of to say we not approve.
Okay.
Okay, so use the word reject. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. The Finance Committee rejects the F22 budget because of its large deficit.
Michael, over to the stack.
I'll take wordsmithing on this motion. Go ahead, Michael Novick.
I'm wondering about the timeline for this. I agree that previously we have rejected budgets in the red, and I think this one is in the red again. We're supposed to find a balanced budget. But I'm wondering, in terms of the NFC, what the timeline of the budget is, since we're already well into the fiscal year. And do we all see to recommend a special meeting of the local station board to consider the budget? That's a query to the chair on the NFC.
We are adding extra meetings to approve budgets at the NFC. Yes, I would recommend a special budget meeting to deal with this budget. There's nothing else we can do here.
I guess I'm asking if you want to put that in the motion.
Move that the Finance Committee rejects the FY22 budget because of its large deficit. We recommend a special special LSB meeting to deal with the budget as soon as possible. How's that? Is that okay?
Okay with me.
Yeah, well, you're the wordsmith, Michael, and you're the chair. So any discussion on this motion?
Yes.
Was that Wenger?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I like Julia's wording better. She said that she's never recommended a deficit budget. I think that the motion currently talks about a too large of a deficit. I don't think there should be any deficit at all. I think we should work with it to be in accord with what Julia said earlier. That's the end of my thought.
Okay. Anybody else? Whoa, are we ready to take a vote?
Yes.
Try unanimous consent.
Okay.
That's John.
Thank you. So this is why you
could it be sent in writing? I'm sorry. I think it would be helpful.
I will. Okay. I wrote it. I wrote it by hand. I will just type it out and send it to the group so they can see it. That doesn't go there.